The Old Testament records the words of the psalmist thusly: "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." The New Testament records the words of the Apostle Peter to the church thusly: "You are a holy nation." The Jews in Old Testament times tried to make this word nation mean Israel. Too often, I think we today try to apply it to our own nation, the United States of America. The Jews were wrong, and so are we. The holy nation Peter refers to are the people that believe and trust in God's word. Amen. The spoken, the written, and the living word of God. This covers and fulfills the saving faith of all who belong to the holy nation Peter refers to in his epistle to the church. The members of the body of Christ, chosen by God before the foundation of the world. With this truth in mind, and I hope you each believe this, with this truth in mind, I want to remind you to think with me this morning about three great traditions that connect the true foundation upon which our country was built, the true foundation upon which our country, the United States of America, was built. And as time has passed, how far away from that foundation we are today. I mentioned three great traditions. The first, we celebrate this month, and we call it Thanksgiving Day. When the Puritans began their pilgrimage to escape religious persecution by the British monarchy and sailed across the Atlantic to land weeks later on the coast of what today is the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, the scene was being set for the first Thanksgiving. Plymouth Rock, the natural symbol of that arrival, has become a long-forgotten piece of history in the world in which most of our grandchildren live today. The new arrivals to America from the British Isles were greeted by the curious American Indians of the Narragansett tribe. With winter coming on and realizing the need for food, these Native Americans showed the newcomers how to fertilize their crops with rotten fish, how to mix sand with the rich soil to achieve the proper drainage. The Indians also helped the pilgrims to learn how to seal their cabins against the harsh New England winds of winter by mixing soil with the abundant red clay still available along the river and banks of the streams. Meanwhile, the pilgrims shared as best they could the Holy Scriptures with the tribe of Narragansett Indians. Perhaps some of them might come to believe they worshipped as their creator, the Great White Spirit, might be the same God spoken of in the white man's black book. Some folks today insist that the savages had no understanding of God's holy word, but that whole argument is rendered moot from the scriptures themselves. Scriptures tell us the rain falls on the just and on the unjust. We are further instructed that God is no respecter of persons. Amen? On this first autumn, however, and the point I'm trying to make is this, On this first autumn in their new land, the Indians and the Pilgrims shared a great feast together of the bountiful harvest that brought in together. They gathered together. They joined in giving thanks to their creator and provider, to the God of the Black Book and the Indians' Great White Spirit. Over the years of our American history, Thanksgiving Day became a tradition that eventually became one of our nation's legal holidays. In just a few days, it will be celebrated by parades, and speeches, and family feasts. Meant to be a reminder of God's bountiful positions for his human images, be they red or white. Amen. Beloved, do you think it might just be possible that the Great White Spirit worshipped by the Narragansett Indians might have been what moved them to welcome and help these white strangers from across the ocean? No one knows. But I'd like to think possibly it's so. Tradition number one, Thanksgiving Day. Tradition number two is the 4th of July, or Independence Day. This tradition is a reminder of the establishment of this land for the citizens of a free nation under God, a home of safety and protection for all creeds, all colors, and all nationalities, a country of people who are the citizens of a free society, a society that is unique and different than any other in the history of this world. America, the United States, a republic for which you and I are to stand for, and if needed, to die for. A nation under God, the God who created everything and anything that exists or ever has or will exist. Amen. This, beloved, is stated clearly in the salute to our country's flag so far. Amen? This, beloved, is sung in that national anthem. This is memorialized in that great World War II song sung by the late Kate Smith, God Bless America. You and I here this morning have a sacred, sacred legacy, a legacy that we must never let our children or our grandchildren forget. Men died to protect this legacy. The veterans that we honor on this coming Tuesday, the signers of our great Declaration of Independence who pledged their lands, their fortunes, and their lives to uphold this nation must be forever a celebrated national tradition. In this holy book, God has promised to bless that nation that believes, upholds, and obeys his word. I spoke of three great traditions that we had to celebrate earlier. Number one, Thanksgiving Day. Number two, Independence Day. I believe with all my heart that this third is possibly the most important today. Many disagree, evidently. But I believe that the third great tradition in the United States of America is Election Day. Yes, Election Day. Why would I say that? Sadly, beloved, this is the most neglected and misused of the three. This week, The final results of voting were reported to be 33.5% of the registered voters that went to the polls. Some recent local elections in our own city recorded 20% or less participation in election day by our citizens. The absolute apathy of this nation's voters is a dark omen for the future of the United States of America. I want to repeat this. This is my opinion, as you know. The absolute apathy of this nation's voters is a dark omen for the future of these United States. Bear with me now as I make a personal statement and then close by reading the 13th chapter of Paul's letter to the Roman Church. First, my personal statement is this. Now you notice what I'm telling the congregation. This is my personal statement. I believe that Election Day is the day we are to carry out our duty to this land of the free. This land has got its start by those coming here to escape religious and political persecution. This land that was established by men who solemnly pledged property, fortunes, and lives to secure absolute liberty under God for its citizens. This land that our veterans have fought in the past and fight for today to protect and keep secure. I believe we must fulfill both our national and our Christian duties and turn out and vote on Election Day. Beloved, the pilgrims chose to leave their homeland to find freedom under God. Amen. Our forefathers chose sacrificing everything to establish this land of the free and home of the brave. Today we find less than one half, far less than one half actually, but less than one half of our nation's registered voters interested in their and their children's future enough to walk out of their front doors and vote. May God stir up his church to impress on his people these three great traditions that make the United States of America so different. Turn now, if you will, to the 13th chapter of Romans. Paul is writing to the church. Amen. I say Paul is writing to the church. And here's what he writes. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Plural. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God unto thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the word as the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God and revengeth to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. But warrior must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. for this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And so I ask the congregation this morning, what do you think? What do you think? You've been reading the prophet Jeremiah. What do you think? You've been reading the history of the Hebrew children. What do you think? You know anything about the history of the church? What do you think? Three great traditions, unique to our country. One, Thanksgiving. Two, Independence Day. Three, election. Mm-hmm.